This morning, I want to begin to discuss to you a topic that has been upon my heart for some time, and I trust will be a help and encouragement to all of us. This morning, I want to begin to talk to you about the issue of some ministry essentials. And as we begin this morning, I want you to open your Bible with me, if you would, to the book of Ephesians and the fourth chapter, Ephesians chapter 4, this morning as we get underway. And I'm going to invite you to follow along as I begin reading in verse 11. We're going to read down through verse 16 and then have a word of prayer. But Ephesians chapter 4, follow along as I begin reading in verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Let's pray together, please. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning that we're able to come and study together the Word of God. Lord, that you have preserved for us your word that will teach us all truth, and that in thy truth you have given us all things that pertain to life and to godliness. And Father, we thank you that you are a God who cares for our needs and you meet everyone. Father, you desire today not only to meet our emotional needs and our physical needs, but Lord, through this time you want to meet our spiritual needs. Now, Lord, I pray this morning that as we come, that our heart would be open and receptive to the Word of God, and Lord, the truth that it presents to us, that we as your people, as one church, would live together in the unity of the Spirit of the bond of peace, that we would minister effectively in this day and age to our generation, that we would be able to make known the mystery of the gospel to those who are lost, that they too would accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And Lord, we ask and pray today that you would teach us all, each and every one. And Lord, we'll thank you. Father, if there's one here today who knows not Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, although we will primarily speak to those who are believers today, Lord, I pray that through thy word you would show them their need of a Savior, and that today would be the day of salvation. And how, Father, you would rejoice and all of us with you for one sinner who comes in repentance to Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray and ask your blessing upon our time, our meeting this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You and I have the wonderful blessing in this age to be part of what we call the church. The church is not a man-made system that is designed to cause men to live according to the rules and regulations of men. There are many churches that operate in that way, but the true church is not a man-made system. The true church is a group of people, a community of people, called out by the Lord from the world with the express purpose of serving God with all of their heart, with all of their soul, with all of their mind. You and I have the wonderful blessing as a local church to be a local community of believers that have been called out by God with the express purpose that we, through the work of ministry, might bring honor and glory to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Warren Wiersbe, in his book entitled On Being a Servant of God, defines ministry this way. He says, ministry takes place when divine resources meet human needs through loving channels to the glory of God. Let me read that to you again. Ministry takes place when divine resources meet human needs through loving channels to the glory of God. You and I have been given a wonderful blessing to be a part of ministry. We have been called of God to be able to do the work of ministry as a local body, a community of people called out of God to serve Him in this location at such a time as this. We've been given the chance for ministry. I want you to notice a couple things with me just from that definition about ministry this morning. And then we're going to begin to look at some of the essentials for an effective ministry. First of all, would you notice with me that the purpose of all ministry is to bring glory to God. You and I have been called to the work of ministry, and the purpose of all ministry is that we would bring glory unto God. The Bible tells us that we were made that we would praise the Lord. We are a peculiar people, called out that we would offer to God our praise. All of our life is to be lived for the glory of God. We are to live in such of a way that we are to exalt His name and show forth His praise. Whether therefore we eat or drink or whatsoever we do, we are to do all to the glory of God. Your life, my life, is to be lived for God's glory, and we have been called to ministry. And ministry is designed that God's name would be exalted, that God's name would be known, that glory would be brought to Him. Each one of us here this morning is responsible to be in ministry. And each one is responsible through our ministry to glorify God. Ministry is not about you, and ministry is not about me. It is to be for the Lord. The wonderful blessing is that God works not only in us, but through us. And He gives us the blessing of being able to partner with Him, and we receive the blessing and joy that is found in ministry. But we don't minister for ourselves. We minister for the glory of God. Not that we receive a benefit. But the blessing is God does benefit those who minister for Him. But the priority is we minister for the glory of God. But secondly, I want you to notice with me that ministry is accomplished by God. In the definition that I read to you, it says ministry takes place when divine resources meet human needs. It is God that accomplishes ministry. The focus, therefore, of ministry is not upon our gifts that God has given to us, but it is about the Lord Jesus Christ and what He is able to accomplish. The focus is to be on God's divine resources. God says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, that He has given us all things that pertain to life and ministry. God has given us all that we need. He provides for you and I the resources necessary that we can serve Him. But it is God, through His strength and through His power, that ministry, true ministry, the true meeting of human needs is accomplished. I'm reminded of the words of Zechariah in chapter 4 and verse 6, where Zechariah says, "It is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." It is not because of your gifts, because of your speech, because of your charisma that things take place. It is because God accomplishes the work. It's because the divine resources are put into place and into action that ministry and the needs of men can be met. The focus ought to be on God's resources, not on our skills, our gifts, our abilities. Number three, ministry is, though, accomplished through us. It is accomplished by God, but it is accomplished through us. Ministry takes place when divine resources meet human needs through loving channels to the glory of God. God wants to use us. Ministry is accomplished by God's people. I don't know about you, but that is a marvel to me. That God would want to use me as a channel of blessing to meet the needs of other men. The fact that God would want to accomplish anything through me is a marvel. I'm not deserving of that. By the way, you're not deserving of that. You and I are sinful, wretched people, but saved by the grace of God, made a joint heir with Jesus Christ, and He has counted you faithful and will give to you the opportunity of ministry for the honor and the glory of Jesus Christ. He wants to accomplish His work through you, that the needs of others might be met. I like to always say it this way: we've been given a privilege to partner together with God. You and I don't have the ability to save a soul, do we? I can't save a soul. I can witness to a soul who needs to be saved. I might be able to be there with them the day that they make that decision, the day that they pray and ask Jesus Christ to save them. But when I'm with them, I have no part of the saving. But God partners with me as an instrument to share with them the gospel. It is through my lips, through my tongue, that they might hear. It is through you that they might see Jesus Christ. He wants to use you and He wants to use me. We partner with Him, but He does the work. But He wants to do it through you and through me. The final thing I want you to be reminded of this morning before we look at these essentials is this: the goal of ministry is to meet the needs of others. The goal of ministry is to meet the needs of others. All men have needs. Yet God has put you and I in a place that we can meet their needs. The question is, are we willing to be His instruments to meet those needs for the glory of God? God has a will that He wants to accomplish for others. And He wants to do that will through you and through me as His instruments of grace. Again, so often the minister and the ministry have been skewed by a wrong view of people. We have become the central focus of ministry. When we become, the minister becomes the focus of ministry, and not that my goal is to glorify God and meet the needs of others, you know what happens? I quickly become disheartened when things don't seem to go the way I planned. I quickly become discouraged because people aren't responding to me. Folks, when you understand that it is God who does the work of ministry and you are but an instrument, can I be offended if people don't respond? Not really. Are they rejecting you when you witness to them and they say, "I don't want to hear that"? They're not rejecting you. Who are they rejecting? God Himself. Am I to be discouraged? Am I to be disheartened? Of course not. But I will when my focus is on me. But folks, the goal of ministry isn't meeting my needs. The goal of ministry is meeting the needs of others for the very glory of Almighty God. I think that you and I would do well to remember the old saying that there is joy in serving Jesus when joy is understood as Jesus first, others second, and then you. Folks, we are to be living and we have the opportunity to be involved in the work of ministry. And with those things in mind, I wanted to begin to look this morning at the thought of our community of ministry. These things that we have discussed are for all of us this morning. Because everyone within this room who knows Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior has been called to the work of ministry. The scripture makes no distinction of the clergy and the laity. The scripture has no concept of professional ministers. All of us are called to minister and to ministry. Now, God calls specific people to do a specific task within a local body in order to help that body do ministry. And that's what Ephesians is all about. But folks, when you read Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 11 through 16, it is very clear that all of us are involved in ministry. We are a community of people called for the purpose of ministry. By the way, Ephesians 4 is not addressed to pastors. It is addressed to people. It begins in verse 11, reminding us that there are some who have been given apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers for the benefit of the body. Well, what is their purpose? Well, verse 12 tells us to perfect the saints for the work of the ministry and to edify the body of Christ. God calls certain men with a purpose that in their ministry they would be designed to equip and to help and to mature the body of Christ, that the body might be doing the work of ministry effectively in their location. But all are to be involved in ministry. It's through the labor of the pastor, through the labor of the teacher, that the people are trained and instructed in the things of God, that the work of ministry is fulfilled. But you notice with me, if you would, verse 13, it says, till we all come in the unity of the faith, in the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. These gifts given to the church were designed that the body might grow, that the body might be perfected, that the body might be matured. Verse 14, for this purpose, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But verse 15 says, we all are to be speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joy supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body, notice, to the edifying of itself in love. Ministry is every part. Each one edifying itself in a spirit of love. All are to take the instruction and make the application that they might carry out the work of ministry within the church. Folks, if we're going to do that effectively, because folks, that's what God has called us to, and I believe there are some essential traits that all of us must develop, that the work of ministry at First Baptist Church could be done for the glory of God. Why are we here? Why do we exist? Why do we gather week upon week upon week? Folks, that the divine resources of Almighty God might meet the needs of mankind through you and I as His loving instruments, that glory be brought to His name. We exist that as a community of people, we might do the work of ministry, that men's needs be met. because this world is filled with men in need. It is. And God would have you and God would have me to be involved in ministry. But in order for us to move together and work in ministry, to have the unity of the Spirit of the bond of peace, that we might be able to accomplish His work, there are some necessary traits that all of us have to develop. I want to look, hopefully, this morning at two. I may not get through two. I may just get through one due to the time. But hopefully we'll get through two. The first trait that I want you to see with me is the trait of humility. I want you to turn with me, if you would, to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1 this morning. If we together are going to fulfill the work of God that He has ordained for us to accomplish here in Mount Pearl, then folks, all of us who have been called out as a community of believers in Mount Pearl at First Baptist Church have to have the trait or the spirit of humility if ministry will be effectively accomplished. I want you to look with me at chapter 1 in verse 27. Paul is writing to a group of believers that he loved dearly. They meant a lot to him. He writes to them and says in verse 27, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come to see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs." What did he want to hear? He wanted to hear that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Our desire ought to be as a church that we would stand together and strive together for the faith of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God has called us out as a community of believers that we would stand together, that we would strive together in the work of ministry for the purpose that the gospel go forth. Now I want you to look with me in chapter 2, if you would. In chapter 2, in verse 1, it says, "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." You know, as I read those verses, I'm reminded about this truth in ministry, that ministry is not about me alone, but ministry is about all of us being involved, all of us standing, all of us striving in the spirit of unity, in one accord, of one mind, that the ministry be accomplished. The work of the ministry cannot be carried out by one person within any one church. It requires all to do their part. I heard this statement years ago, and I like it. It says this: one is too small a number for achieving greatness. One is too small a number for achieving greatness. It requires all of us doing our part for the church to be effective in the work of ministry. It won't be accomplished because there are one or two superstars. I know that's how the world seems to think everything works. Every sports team is built around their superstar. I don't care if it's hockey or if it's basketball, whatever it might be. But teams are built around the superstars, and they expect the superstar, who they pay the highest salary, that they will carry the team on their shoulders. Now, he might be the most talented of all athletes, but they cannot win without their team. You cannot win a game of basketball 1-on-5. It is impossible. But you can win 5-on-5 with the best player. It is all being involved in the work of the ministry. And we must remember that the work of the ministry requires many. And we must support each other and strive together in order that the ministry be accomplished. That's why Paul comes in chapter 2 and he begins to encourage and to exhort them, to urge them to strive to work in a spirit of unity. Being of one mind, of one accord. Why is unity so important? Well, can I remind you this thought about unity? By the way, this is, I think, sometimes misunderstood within churches today. The word unity does not mean unanimity. You know the difference between those two words? Because they are two different words. Unity and unanimity are not the same thing. Unanimity requires that we all agree on every point. That's not going to happen. In a group, a community of people, you are not going to get everybody to agree on every point. But that's okay. What we need is unity about the goal and where we're going. You may have a different point of view than someone else within this room today. That doesn't mean that we can't go forward together. What we need is unity. We understand that the goal of ministry is divine resources meeting human needs through you and I who have different gifts and different abilities, but the goal and the purpose is that God be glorified and their needs be met. And we ought to be striving together in a spirit of unity. That's why he says in verse 3 and 4, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. If you and I will effectively carry out ministry in our community, there is the need for humility. It is not about you or me. It is about us together in the spirit of unity, going for the same goals and the same purposes. There's a need for us to humble ourselves and strive to put others ahead of ourselves. Every member of the body of Christ within the local church is important. But we all don't carry the same place and the same position. And folks, that's okay. But we're all important. We're not all the head, and we're not all the feet. We're not all the hands, and we're not all the legs and the arms. I'll be honest with you, there are some of you here today. Let me tell you what your role is. You're the heart. Say, what do you mean by that, Pastor? There are some of you who may not be able to carry things on through the hands and the legs because you can't do it anymore. But you're the heartbeat of our church because you pray. That is the work of ministry. Not everyone is called to the same place or position, but we together are to be accomplishing the same task and the goal. But we better know our place and we better know our position within the body. And be content where God has placed us. That the work of ministry is accomplished because our goals aren't so important. God's goals are. It's not what I think. It's what He wants. It's not about my plans. It's His plans. What are we accomplishing? What is our desire? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Goal! It's not about my will. The Lord Jesus Christ even stated, Father, not my will, but thine be done. We have to humble ourselves one before another that we might effectively accomplish the work of ministry. You know, God has given to you gifts and abilities He did not give to me. And with those gifts and ability, He's put you in a place and a position within this body that we together might effectively carry out the work of ministry. I'm thankful, folks, for our deacons. But you know what? Deacons and pastors aren't the same. They have different positions and they have different roles. And we effectively work as a team in leadership when the pastor does his part and the deacons do their part. When deacons want to become pastors and pastors want to become deacons, there's a problem within the church. But when a pastor is a pastor and deacons are the deacons, there is a wonderful, beautiful bond and ministry together in leadership. God gave us deacons because they have some abilities I don't have. They have some influence I don't have. And they are a wonderful blessing to you as a congregation. And you may not even know what they do. But we wouldn't be effective without them. Without them doing their task and what they've been called to do by God. All of us have been given gifts and abilities, and all of us have been placed in the positions for this purpose, that God's will is accomplished. And what He wants accomplished will get done. We have been called to ministry. By the way, when we talk about humility, can I give you this simple thought? Humility is simply having the right view of ourselves in relation to God and others. It's having a right view of ourselves in relation to God and others. And perhaps that is one of our greatest struggles within the church. Having a right view of self. Can I be honest with you? I think there are some within the church today who struggle with a wrong view of self because it's just too high. But there are some of you who struggle because your view is just too low. It's the right view. Oh, there's nothing I can do. Woe is me. It's not me. I couldn't do anything for God. You've got a wrong view of yourself in relation to God, in relation to others. There's others that the struggle is, I can do everything. You got too high a view. None of us can. None of us can. But we need to humble ourselves that we would stand together, that we would strive together for the work of ministry, that it would be accomplished for His honor and for His glory. That's why we serve. That's our goal. But folks, as I come to Ephesians 4, I'm reminded that all of us have been given ministry. Pastors and teachers, evangelists, the apostles and prophets of old were given that the body of Christ be perfected, that they would learn how to minister, and that together we would minister. Everyone here this morning, a part of the body of Christ, is important. And the work can't be done without you. By the way, not everyone can sing in the choir. Not everyone can do special music. Tim always invites men who can even carry a tune in a bucket to come and sing. I'm glad for men who'll come and sing, but guess what? I'm not going to join them. I have other things that I'm supposed to be doing on a Sunday night. And I'm going to let the men who can sing, sing. And I'm going to let them enjoy that service for the Lord. And there are others who can do that. Not everyone can teach a Sunday school class, but I'm thankful for those who do. Not every lady could handle working in the nursery. But I am very thankful for every nursery worker who works with those kids and meets their needs so that the needs of adults can be met in this service. Not everyone can do junior church. I can't. They scare me, by the way. Those little kids, they scare me when I get into a room all by myself with them. They're frightening little things. They are. If you don't believe me, go do junior church 1 week. It feels like an eternity down there with them. And I feel like it barely began when I get started here. I'm thankful for those who work with them and minister to them on their needs. I'm thankful for those who work with our master clubs, who work with our youth. I'm thankful for those who are involved in ministry. There are some who spend days upon days each week going out and visiting those who are not able to come and be a part of our services. That is a huge blessing and ministry to those who can't always be here. You're showing them that you love them and care about them, and First Baptist Church hasn't forgotten them in their labor of love. They need that encouragement, but not everyone can do that. Not everyone has the time to do that. And others meet other needs in other ways because God has gifted them to do such. But all of us are called to ministry. But if we're going to effectively minister, there's a need for each one that we would humble ourselves before God and others. I reminded our young people this morning in our youth Sunday school. There are two places in the scripture, in the New Testament, that God speaks of pride and humility. And he makes the exact same statement in both places. God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace to those who are humble. James chapter 4 and 1 Peter chapter 5. By the way, James chapter 4 speaks of our humility before God. Draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh unto you. 1 Peter chapter 5 talks about our humility before others. That the elder, the younger would submit unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another in the fear of the Lord. God resists our pride before him, and he resists our pride when we exalt ourselves before others. That word resist again means to hold at arm's length. What you and I miss when we're proud is the fellowship with Almighty God. Yet he wants us to enjoy that fellowship with him and with others, that we stand together, that we strive together for the faith of the gospel, for the work of the ministry. I hope to get through two. I made it through one. And we're going to stop right there. By the way, I have 9 more after this, so I can carry this on the next week and that'll be okay. The other ones may not take quite so long, but 1 and 2 might. But I think they're very important that we understand. Because folks, there's a need for us to do the work of ministry today. Can I remind you what we stated at the beginning of this year? Our desire, our goal, that we would continue to grow in his grace, that we be grounded in his truth, that we would go out into the world in love. We grow, we're grounded for the purpose that we would go to do the work of ministry. It's not just that I am ministered unto, but I am ministered unto that I might be a ministry unto others. Let's pray together, please, as we close.